July 5th, 1991. When Larry Starchak heard about the murder of Gus Leonidas, he was in bed with a prosecutor named Muriel Wynn, who had just told him she was getting serious with somebody else. "Dan Quayle," she answered when he demanded to know who. "He fell for my spelling." Irked, Larry agitated one foot through the clothing on the hotel carpeting in search of his briefs. When his toe brushed his beeper, it was vibrating. "Bad stuff," he said to Muriel after he got off the phone. "Good Gus just bought the farm. They found him and his two customers dead of gunshot wounds in his freezer." He shook out his trousers and told her he had to go. The commander wanted all hands on deck. Tiny and dark, Muriel was sitting up straight on the stiff hotel linen, still without a stitch. "Is there a prosecutor assigned yet?" she asked. Larry hadn't a clue, but he knew how it went. If she showed up, they'd assume somebody sent her. He asked her again who the guy was. "I mean, I just want to move on," Muriel answered. "I think this other thing, I think it may go somewhere. I might even get married." "Married? Hell, Larry, it's not a disease. You're married." He answered. 5 years ago, he'd married for the second time because it made sense. Nancy Marini, good-hearted nurse, was easy on the eyes, kind, well-disposed toward his boys. But as Nancy had pointed out several times recently, he'd never said goodbye to any of the stuff that had led his first marriage to ruin, the catting around or the fact that his principal adult relationship was with dead bodies he scraped off the street. Marriage number two was just about past tense. But even with Muriel, Larry preferred to keep his problems to himself. "You've always said marriage was a disaster," he told her. "My marriage to Rod was a disaster, but I was 19. At 34, Muriel had the distinction of having been a widow for more than 5 years. It was the 4th of July weekend, and the Hotel Gresham, in the early afternoon, was strangely silent. As Muriel drifted past him for the mirror, he grabbed it from behind and did a brief grind, his lips close to the short black curls by her ear. "Is your new beau as much fun as I am?" "Larry, this isn't the national fuck-offs where you just got eliminated. We've always had a good time." Combat defined their relations. He enjoyed it maybe more than the sex. They'd met in law school, 7 years ago now, when both had started at night. Muriel became a star and transferred to the day division. Larry had decided to quit even before he won custody of his sons, because he didn't have the right reasons to be there. He was trying to bolster himself after his divorce to stay out of the taverns, even to improve the opinions of his parents and brothers who saw police work as somewhat below him. While Muriel finished batting powder over her summer freckles, Larry flipped on the radio. The news stations all had the murders by now, but Greer, the commander, had clamped down on the details. "I'd really love to catch this case," Muriel said. She was 3.5 years on the job as a prosecutor, and not even close to assignment to a capital prosecution, even as the second or third chair. "But you never got very far telling Muriel to slow down." Larry nodded. The case would be big. Augustus Leonidas had owned the restaurant called Paradise for more than 30 years. The North End neighborhood had gone to ruin around him shortly after he opened. Yet Gus, full of brash immigrant optimism, had refused to move. He was a patriot of a lost kind. What area was bad if it was in America? He'd been called Good Gus for so long that nobody remembered exactly why. Whether it was his freebies for unfortunates, his civic activities, or his effusive, upbeat style. Over the years, he was steadily named in the Tribune's annual poll as one of Kendall County's favorite citizens. Out on the street, when Larry arrived, the cops from the patrol division had done their best to make themselves important, parking their black and whites across the avenue, with the light bars atop the vehicle spinning. Various vagrants and solid citizens had been attracted. Muriel had driven separately, but she was lurking near the broad windows of the restaurant, waiting for Larry to edge her into the case. He flipped his tin at the two uniforms near the door. Inside, on the left, three civilians were seated together on one bench of a booth, a black man in an apron, a wrung-out woman in a beige house dress, and a younger guy with rounded shoulders and an earring big enough to twinkle at Larry from 30 feet. The three seemed to be their own universe, isolated from the whirl of police activity around them. Employees, a family, Larry figured, waiting either to be questioned or to ask questions of their own. He signaled Muriel, and she sat down near them on one of the revolving soda fountain stools that grew up like a row of toadstools in front of the counter.